Over the last little while, we have considered together a couple thoughts in relation to the Christian life. Each thought has been a familiar one, but each one is essential that we understand them and that we learn to do them well. We started with this thought, the thought of a dedicated life, from Romans chapter 12. In verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto our God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We understand that every believer, because of the wondrous mercies that we have received of Almighty God, ought to dedicate our whole life to be well-pleasing in His sight. Nothing should be withheld from Him. It should be our joy and blessing to give Him our very best, for He alone is worthy. Last week, we turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we looked at a devoted life. We understand that a Christian, one who names the name of Jesus Christ, not only should his life be devoted to the Lord, but it ought to be devoted unto others as well. And it should be our desire to show to all that we come in contact with the very love of Almighty God. For the Bible tells us that his love is shed abroad in our hearts, and therefore we need to share that love with those around us. This morning, I want to consider two other thoughts that I believe are important for us to consider in relation to the Christian life, basic truths that we need. This morning, I want to address the thought of a discerning life, and then I want to discuss the thought of a discreet life. I've entitled the message, A Discreetly Discernible Life. Bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we'll consider these two thoughts together this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we're able to come and gather with a purpose that we might worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That, Lord, today we might learn of his word, that we might be taught and instructed of it. And Father, I pray today that you would open the eyes of our understanding to behold these wondrous things from thy word. Father, nothing that we will say today is new to us. But Father, at times within our Christian life, we struggle to put these things into practice, and they need to be well done within our hearts, that we would be a people that are well pleasing in your sight. So Lord, I pray today that you would teach us. I pray today that you would help us as we consider the thought of a discerning life and the thought of a discreet life. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. We'll ask and pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 14 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 14. I want to back up though, and I want you to look beginning at verse 11 with me, and then we'll consider the thought before us. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's the thought I want to consider this morning, that you and I, as believers, ought to have the ability to discern between good and evil. God would have you and God would have me as a believer to live a life that is filled with discernment, that we would walk in wisdom. And that we would be discerning in the things that we do, the choices that we make. You know, every day brings to us various challenges that we must face. Each day will bring certain temptations for which we must fight. There are differing moods that we must therefore adjust. And there are multiple decisions that we're going to have to make. Each day is requiring of you and I the ability to discern. And the writer of Hebrews writes here in chapter 5 to remind the people of the necessity of being one who is able to use the Word of God and one who is able to discern between good and evil. God wants you and God wants me to have a discerning life. We are called upon to complete the course that God has called us to. And as we complete that course, to stay on the straight and narrow road that we might avoid the pitfalls and the dangers that are lurking. The Bible tells us that we have an enemy, the devil, who is considering how he might destroy you and I. And as we face the different challenges and as we face the different temptations, as we have to adjust to the differing moods that we will go through and the decisions that need to be made, then you and I must be able to discern both good and evil. Our society today continues to remove God from life and therefore has subsequently lost the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. It's not hard to look around and realize that our world is quickly losing any sense of morality. We are being called to loose from the moorings of morality and live a life the way that we desire, no matter without any thought to good or evil. But folks, there is good and there is evil, and we must learn to be discerning. Dr. Bob Moorhead compiled a list of thoughts in which he has entitled it The Paradox of Our Time. I want you to listen as I read what he has written with relation to the paradox of our times and the change in the times in which we live. He says, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more, but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense, more knowledge, but less judgment, more experts, but more problems, more medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too reckless, laugh too little, drive too fast, get angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too seldom, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We have talked too much, loved too seldom, and hated too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We split the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. We have more food, but less appeasement. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but have less communication. We become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, tall men and short character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace but domestic warfare, more leisure but less fun, more kinds of food but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, of fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. In a time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stock room. A time when technology has brought this letter to you. And a time when you can choose either to make a difference or just hit delete. Folks, we live in a day in which we have our values wrong. We don't know how to determine good and evil. We lack discernment. And the sad reality is that many Christians are in the same state. God wants us to have a life that is discerning, that we are able to discern between good and evil. For many, they live their lives with no ability to discern the difference. We cannot know how what is good and what is wrong. They are spiritual babes that must rely on everyone else to show them how to live. And that's the point of Hebrews chapter 5. In a time in which we should be able to handle the meat of the Word of God, we still need the milk. We still need someone to process for us truth, that they might teach us the truth, to tell me how to live. But as a believer, God would have you and God would have me to know how to discern, to know how to choose between good and evil. So the writer of Hebrews is addressing that very issue here. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the context. The writer is laying before believers both a rebuke and a challenge. He is dealing with the problem, again, that there are many who should be mature spiritually, yet they are still but babes. They were incapable of feeding themselves and having to turn to others to be fed. But in essence, they should have been the ones who were doing the feeding. So he offers to them the rebuke and he reminds them what a mature believer is. And he says to them that we should have the ability to discern. So he gives them now the challenge. A mature believer possesses the ability to discern between good and evil. The question is, what does that word discern mean? God would have you and I to live lives that were able to discern, that we would be known as ones with discernment, the ability to judge between good and evil. That word discern means to separate thoroughly. It means to discriminate or to decide. It's actually made up of two words, the one meaning from and the other meaning to distinguish. So literally the word means to distinguish from. We are to distinguish good from evil. We are not to call evil good and good evil, but we are to make the judgment and to distinguish the difference. Because, folks, there is a difference. Our world today wants to blur the lines of good and evil. We want to make so many things gray in life that that's just your opinion or my opinion. But folks, the Bible makes some things very clear. It is black, it is white. And you and I need to be able to discern the difference, to distinguish, to thoroughly separate good from evil. Because, folks, there are decisions that have to be made every day. Because there are differing attitudes and moods that we have to adjust to. Because there are temptations that will face us day by day. And there are challenges that will arise that will require us to be able to know what is right and what is wrong. Every one of us is facing that on a day-by-day basis. And therefore, we need to have a discerning life. We ought to strive to live each day distinguishing the good from the evil. It's true in what we read and what we listen to, what we talk about, the decisions that we make. The question is, are those things well-pleasing to our God? Are they pleasing in His sight? I want you to see a couple of references of Scripture with me this morning in relation to this thought of a discerning life. First of all, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, if you would. I want you to look with me at verse 19. Romans chapter 16 and verse 19. Says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would that ye be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Paul said, my prayer for the people at Rome, for the believers, is that they would be wise in understanding that which is good, but to be simple concerning that which is evil. By the way, as I read that, I'm reminded of my duty as a parent, that my children be wise to that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. There are things that our children must learn, and they will face as they grow older, but we ought to strive to keep our children innocent to that which is evil. There are some things to which, folks, they ought to be sheltered from, and they ought to be protected from. And as parents, we ought to take responsibility for those things. Matthew chapter 10, if you would, look at verse 16. In Matthew chapter 10, and look with me, if you would, at verse 16. The Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, to whom he is now sending out in the realm of ministry. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." You and I are called to go out and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we ought to go forth with wisdom. Wisdom to know the difference between that which is good and that which is evil. Because, folks, we go out into a world as sheep amongst wolves. We have an enemy who is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, "I have prayed for you because the devil desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed that your faith would not fail." The reality is, you and I need wisdom in this day to know the difference between good and evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, we're reminded of this. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Discernment comes from those who are willing to leave behind the carnal mind and allow our minds instead to be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. How will you and I know right from wrong? Well, it's not going to be that we listen to what the world determines right and wrong. Again, I think I shared this with you maybe a while back, but I read an article. And in the article, basically, it stated by a psychologist or a sociologist, one of the two. Either way, the person didn't know what they were talking about. But she basically made this statement. "After a study, it is her professional opinion that the best thing that you can do for your marriage is to have regular affairs." Folks, that's the world's morality. It keeps your marriage fresh and alive. It's good for your husband to be involved in those things. What foolishness. I just read this last week of someone who won one of the lotto jackpots. He is on a mission now so that the rest of the world can benefit from the use of marijuana. He is going to do all he can, take his $25 million, and his cause is to allow BC to pass regulations to make marijuana illegal because drugs are useful for people. What a crazy sense of morality. That's what our world. How will you and I learn to discern then good and evil? Well, folks, we have to come back to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to teach us from His Word, because these things are natural to us. The natural man discerneth not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned as we learn to take the Word of God and allow ourselves to grow spiritually, to be mature, that we are able to handle the meat of the Word of God, not simply just the milk for others to feed us. God wants us to be discerning. Not only should we strive to have a discerning mind, to learn how to properly choose between that which is good and that which is evil, but I think there's another goal in Scripture today I want you to consider, and that's the goal of a discreet lifestyle. Turn over to Psalm 112 this morning. Psalm 112. In Psalm 112, I want to look at verse 5. It gives us a challenge to consider. It says, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." There is a need for you and I to learn how to live our lives discreetly, to live not only with discernment, but also discretion. I want to take a moment and define that term for you as we find it here in Psalm 112, verse 5. The term discretion is a word that means judgment. The idea here is that we not only have the ability to know right from wrong, but there is also an ability to make right decisions and right judgment based on the knowledge that we have. A good man will order his affairs with discretion. And those of us who follow Christ need to be able to make right decisions about good and evil. In a world that is filled with evil, there is a need for us to be cautious and wise. Again, the Lord instructed his disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The problem that we all face is that we often have a head knowledge of the Word of God, but we lack the ability to discreetly apply it to the situations in which we live. The concept of discretion allows you and I, when we are walking discreetly, to take the truth of the Scripture that we have and apply it to the situation that we are now in, in order that we choose good over evil, in order that we do that which is well-pleasing in the sight of Almighty God. There's a need for you, there's a need for me, that we would order our affairs discreetly, with proper judgment. As we have defined that thought, I want to take some time now and apply it. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, we are given this thought. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We are to walk not as a foolish man, but a wise man will walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means carefully. The idea there is that we learn to place our feet carefully. We choose carefully our steps, where we go and who we are with. We were talking about this verse a little bit a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night with the youth group, and I said to them, you know, as a child growing up, I used to do a lot of hunting and a lot of fishing. Never really cared where I put my feet. My dad would say, "We're going downstream," and we would just walk downstream, never thinking where you put your feet. Every once in a while, if I wasn't paying attention, I'd end up underwater because I hit a slippery rock and there you went. Didn't mind so much as a kid, it was kind of fun. But you know, after two broken ankles and surgery both times, I am very careful where my feet go when I'm walking anywhere. Because I understand the pain that comes with a destroyed ankle. I don't want to do that again. I have to remind myself sometimes as we're involved with youth or working with people and we're involved in activities, and maybe it's basketball or something else, that this isn't mine to play anymore. It's time to let other people do that, because I just need to watch and oversee, because I've been there, I've done that, I've hurt myself. It's time for me not to do that anymore. Because I tend to forget when we get into competition that I need to be careful where that foot goes. See, one who walks circumspectly is one who is careful where they step. I want you to consider a couple thoughts with me this morning about good judgment and good decisions. Number one, I want you to consider this with me. A wise man will allow God to order his steps through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and his word. Say, how do we learn to walk circumspectly? How do I know if I'm being wise in where I go, a careful in the steps that I take? A wise man will allow God to order his steps through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and his word. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Do you realize that God delights to direct your steps day by day? He wants to lead you and guide you day by day. In fact, he has promised to do so. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How are we guided? Well, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A wise man allows God to direct my steps through the word of God. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and do all good works. A wise man allows God to order his steps through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and his word. Second, a wise man will recognize the plots of our enemy, the devil. See, folks, you live each day with snares placed before you. Snares to entangle your feet, to cause you to fall. Peter in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's why God said to take unto you the whole armor of God, so that you're protected against all of his many wiles and his devices as he seeks to cause us to fall. We must be careful. We must be wise. You and I will walk carefully when we realize that we live in such of a way that is becoming of the name of Christ. Folks, God wants you and I to walk carefully in this world. We must order our steps with judgment and discretion, and we must be careful that we walk in such a way that becomes the name of Christ. And by the way, the scripture speaks very plainly as to how we ought to walk as a believer. Let me give you a few passages of scripture for time's sake. I'll reference these to you. You can look them up, jot them down. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, we're told, only let your conversation as becometh the gospel of Christ. We are to walk as one becoming of the gospel. We are to let our conversation, the manner of our life, be becoming of the gospel of Christ. We are to order our life in such of a way that it becomes his name and the truth of his gospel. A discreet life makes judgments in such of a way that it recognizes that the decisions that I make will reflect not just upon my life and my character, but on the very gospel that I want to present. And so a discreet life walks as one becoming the gospel. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We are to walk worthy of our calling. You and I have been given the wonderful blessing, have we not, to be called Christian. It's our calling. I am called above everything else to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What a privilege is mine. There are a lot of other titles by which I go. I go by father, husband. Those are proud titles for me. Pastor. I am known as an evangelical, one who loves the gospel. I am an independent Baptist. There are a lot of titles that we bear, but none greater than the name of Christ.
And I am to walk worthy, to order my steps and make judgments by discretion, that I am worthy of that name. By the way, can I remind you where the name Christian came from? It was not taken by us. It was given to us. As the world looked on and saw the testimony of the life of those who had trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, they said, there are Christians, followers of Jesus. That's the title that we bear. Paul says, walk worthy of that calling.
One who will order his life in discretion will walk worthy of the Lord and be well-pleasing to him. Colossians 1 and verse 10, Paul prayed that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A discreet life is a life that desires to please God in all that he does. One who orders his steps in discretion, a wise man, wants God to look upon his life and say, in him I am well pleased. By the way, what is it that every one of us wants to hear someday when we leave this life as our brother Ray and entered into the presence of our Savior? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the goal. That's a good goal. That's not a selfish goal. It's a scriptural goal. That we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That's how we're supposed to walk as a believer. Finally, a discreet life will cause us to reject the old ways of life and live a holy life in every manner of our life. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1, with this we'll close. A life of discretion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, by the way, I think is the one who ought to share this truth with the church. He says in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, God wants you and God wants me to live a life that is dedicated to him, that is devoted to him and to others, and that is lived with discernment and discretion. These are basic to the Christian life. And if we're honest, they're hard to do. Day by day, there's a need for you and I to discern between good and evil and to discreetly judge and choose that which is right. That's what we're called to do. That's the life he wants for you and wants for me. He saved us from sin. And he wants us now to be able to divide clearly between right and wrong. And to choose good over evil. Why? Because folks, there is a life filled with God's blessing. There is a life that is filled with his peace. There is a life that when we come to the end of our days, we can look back and say, there's nothing I regret. There's nothing I wouldn't have changed.
Oh, I wasn't perfect in everything. But we can say like the Apostle Paul, you know what, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and in it all, I kept faith. Praise the Lord, there is a reward left for those who live that life. He has promised to reward us each and every one. What a blessing. Folks, God has a way for us to live. And as we know these truths, we ought to do them well. In sports, we talk about fundamentals. I'm trying to teach our academy students how to play basketball. That requires more than just kind of slamming a ball into the ground and running as fast as you can and running into somebody else. Okay, it's about control. But there are some fundamentals. We did some drills the other day. One of them, coach, we have a problem. What's the problem? We're not using a ball. You don't need a ball right now, because until you learn some form and technique, a ball's just going to get in the way. Why? Because there's fundamentals. That's true of basketball. That's true of hockey. That's true of any sport. You know, there are fundamentals to the Christian life. There are. One such fundamental is a life dedicated because of the mercies of God. A life devoted to Christ and others, because without that devotion and love, we are and have nothing. We're nobody in the eyes of God. It also requires discernment, that we would grow spiritually, being able to handle not just the milk of the word that someone processes for us and gives to us, but to be able to take the meat of the word, to process that and produce milk for another growing Christian to follow. That needs discernment between good and evil. And another is discretion. A life that will say, I'll be holy in all manner of life, and I will order my steps wisely and walk as I ought, as in one who bears the name of Jesus Christ and carries with me every day the gospel in word and in life. Oh, that we would have a discernible life and a discreet life. Beloved, let us live each day for His honor and for His glory, dedicated, devoted, discerning, and discreet. Let's pray as we close, please.